me in your hymnals to hymn number 402, Faith is the Victory, and let's stand to sing hymn number 402.
As he brings us the message tonight, Lord, and just we pray that each and every one would be attentive to his word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Welcome. Welcome to our evening service here at Morrow Bible Church. And it's a great pleasure to see each one of you here tonight. In this service, thank you for coming, and welcome to anybody that's online. Thank you for joining us online. I'm expecting most of my family to be watching tonight as they're mostly at home dealing with some symptoms. And so I just have one daughter here tonight, and I told her this is what it was like when I was growing up. I was the only child, and she didn't want to be the only one to have to go with Dad to church, but she did, and that's what it was like for me. I was the only one to go with my family to church, but it was a lonely childhood. But I survived it. We'll open it up here in a few moments for testimonies, and Anna is the mic holder tonight. So if you have a testimony, raise your hand, and Anna will bring the wireless mic over to you so that you can be heard, and encourage you to do that. Then announcements here this week, Election Day on Tuesday. Hope that you get out and vote. A lot of local issues, I know, in different towns, counties, areas, so I encourage you to do that. And then come out and pray on Wednesday night. We have our prayer meeting Wednesday nights, and encourage you to be here if you can. If you're not able to be here, consider joining with us by phone or by Skype even. We have Mrs. DeWeese. She's been with us on the phone for many months, and we have another person that's going to try to join us this Wednesday night on the phone. And so we'll be looking forward to that. And come and find out who it is. But we can pray together that way as well. So Wednesday prayer. And then Thursday we will have the time for evangelism. That's our goal anyway when we go out. The goal is to try to give the gospel. Don't always get that opportunity, but sometimes we do. We're at least able to leave the gospel packages, and that's a way of giving the gospel. So planning that on Thursday afternoon at 3:30. Then remember to set your clocks back next week. Time change coming up, so fall back Saturday night. Remember to do that. Maybe your clocks all do it automatically for you now, but just in case they don't, remember to make sure on that. And then the November 21st, Sunday, before Thanksgiving, we're planning our Thanksgiving service. And the way we're planning that this year is to have a dinner in the foyer. It's going to be our Plymouth Plantation dinner with the Pilgrims and the Indians. And we're going to call them Indians if they're here. Just going to go ahead and use that term. I know it's controversial, but Pilgrims and the Indians. So we'll start at 6:30 with our regular service time. Start with the dinner in the foyer, and we'll have the young people, being the Pilgrims and Indians, and they'll be serving that dinner. And then we'll just follow that with our Thanksgiving service. We'll just continue it right out there in the foyer right after the meal and have that time for sharing our Thanksgiving testimonies. Just a report about our church meeting last Sunday. The church voted unanimously to accept the application from Samuel Finneran for the intern assistant position. So the Finnerans are finishing their ministry in South Carolina. They're making plans to move back to the area over the next several months. And once their plans finalize, we'll have a start date that'll be determined for him here, probably in early months of 2022 is looking like what it would be, and he'll have to find a full-time job up here, place to live, and so you know, they're starting to look for that, check into that, and so that's where things are right now with that. All right, I think that's all the announcements. So does anybody have a favorite or a testimony tonight? Favorite or a testimony? If you have a testimony, Anna is standing by here with the mic. She's ready to bring it over to you. If you would like to share something by way of praise, maybe an answer to prayer, or just a way that the Lord has been working in your life, just something you can share tonight. Would there be any testimonies tonight? All right, Pastor Gossman, run it over there.
I thought I'd say something about our visitation on Thursday. It's interesting when you talk to some people, especially those that are in town and in communities. They say nobody will come to the door, that their people are closed. But we really just been impressed with how, in many instances, how friendly a community we live in, where people come to the door, they talk to you, and we've been going down, Lewis's Road there, all the way down through. I think I found more friendly people that just come out and talk. And a number of people that claim to know Christ, and some gave a reasonable testimony in that way, and yet so few of them that were in a church anywhere. And various reasons for that. Something happened to the church they were in, or they've moved in the area and they just haven't found anything, just got out of going. Others that I figure they probably don't know Christ. But my wife laughed about the one man she heard. I asked him if he was this one man. Asked him if he was interested in spiritual things. He said, "Well, yes, I am." He said, "I really get kind of a kick out of some of the, I always look for the signs, some of the signs churches put out and some of the things they say on them. So, yeah, I'm interested in spirit." That was kind of funny. But it gives you a burden we realize how much, what a benefit it is to us personally. Like as we're here in the assembly, we're under the teaching and the preaching of the word and the encouragement that's there, the preparation that the Lord has for us and the various things that we will experience in life and just the additional confidence of being under the Word and what a blessing it is. And I just it makes you kind of grieve for other believers that are not seeking out the assembly of believers. And probably some of them don't have any idea the depths of the blessing of being under a real teaching of God's word. And I just so it kind of gives you a more of a burden to encourage folks and if they're not saved, we're putting these scripture portions, the Gospel of John, and in their hands, and we just need to really pray that the Lord will use that that they'll open those packets up, that they'll begin to read God's word and allow God's word to speak to them. But that's just kind of a brief report from this last week. So.
Thank you very much. All right. Anyone else tonight? Any other testimonies you'd like to share? Or a favorite? Anybody with a favorite hymn? We'll sing. Okay. Four.
Sing hymn number 249. Just As I Am, and Let's Stand.
right. Anybody else? Do you have a testimony you'd like to share? Anybody else? Okay, Mr. Margrath. Take it over there.
Well, I did something I've never done before in my life this week. I read an obituary, or I didn't read one. I gave a little talk at my mom's funeral, and I hope not. People don't have to do that very often because it's a very difficult thing to do. And I didn't read the obituary, but I did write it, and I had help writing it so that it came through okay. So I really thank the Lord for the strength to do that. And He actually gave me the strength to do it the very day that she died. And I was overtaken by that. Thank Him for the ability to do that and the ability to speak at her funeral. It was difficult. It was a very beautiful funeral, and my children sang. And we prayed that the gospel was preached there. Another praise there is my son, my brother Chris, also gave a little gospel message. And so I'm very thankful for that because he hasn't been that way in his life very many times, but the last several years in his life, a lot of events in his life has caused him to really think deeply about spiritual things, so I praise the Lord for that.
Amen. Amen. All right, anyone else tonight? Any other testimonies? Mr. Lewis, take it back there. Mr. Lewis.
Really, I was trying to think of what to say tonight. Then Ron gave his testimony about his mom. And it was, I'm thankful for my mom. She was born 1924, October the 26th. So she just had her birthday. So if my math's right, she'd have been about 98 years old. And my niece put a picture of Mom on Facebook, and Debbie showed it to me there last night or whenever. And just didn't look like my mom that I grew up with. And but I'm just very thankful I had a godly mother. And because of her, I know Jesus is my Savior. And by what Pastor Gossman was talking about, you'd ask people, who is Jesus? You get all kinds of answers. But I think there in 1 John, I think I even mentioned it on a Wednesday night a few weeks ago, that a true test of the Holy Spirit dwells in you if you say He's the Son of God. And because of my mom, I knew that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, is the Son of God, and I have eternal life. But my mom's still precious.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. All right. Anybody else tonight? Anyone else? Testimony or a favorite? Maybe we could do one more favorite if you have one. Mr. Lewis?
My mom and dad, 264.
All right.
Sing hymn 264, In the Garden.
Anyone else tonight with the testimony? Mr. Miller? Just hand it right back there. And okay.
First of all, I'd like to thank God for my salvation. I thank everybody in this church for welcoming my wife and myself in. And we had opportunity this week to take a drive over in the eastern part of the state to see the beautiful scenery, the fall colors and everything. And just a blessing to know that God's made all that available to us.
Amen. Colors have been beautiful this week, past couple days, really. Seems like around here anyway, they're about the peak, I think, maybe, the fall color. All right, anyone else? Anyone else? Mrs. Gossman? Okay, Anna, take it on back there to Mrs. Gossman.
I, too, have been impressed with the beauty of God's creation. You can't look at all that and not praise the Lord for all that He's created. And I've been doing a lot of reading in the Psalms lately, and when it comes to chapters that talk about His creation from the mountains to the waters in the sky and the rivers and all that He has done, the power that He has. I heard on a news report this last week. It was an interview of a scientist. They would ask him, "Do you believe in God?" And he says, "Well, God is the creator." He says, "And I am a creator." And his scientific work was very nefarious. His design was to create a mankind that would be eternal. And he said, "We are gods," and I thought how much we are living in the days of Noah, the days of the Tower of Babel, and the verse that I read just a couple days ago is, "What is man? What man is he that liveth and shall not see death?" These men are all going to face the judgment of God, whether they believe him or not.
Amen. Thank you. All right, anyone else tonight? Anybody else? All right, Mr. Margaret, take it back. We're giving Anna a workout tonight.
Well, I failed to talk about my mom earlier. I do thank the Lord for my mother and her life. We didn't really always agree on things, especially some things theologically and spiritually. And there's been a long history of division between the way I was raised and the way she believed, and which is ironic because, you know, both her and Dad raised me in a very conservative Christian background. But I do thank the Lord for my mother, who showed in many, many ways the love of Christ to many, many different people. First of all, to her family and to her husband. And so I do thank the Lord for her testimony.
Amen. Amen. It was great to see all of the Margrath children singing at the funeral for Ron's mother. And that was a blessing. They sang "It Is Well." And I'd like to have them come here and sing, but I know it's hard to get all six of them together to do that. So, all right, anybody else? Anyone else tonight? All right. Okay, I guess we'll let Anna sit down and we'll call it a night for testimonies. Okay, well, let's go ahead and go to scripture passage tonight, which is going to be 1 Samuel chapter 1. We're jumping into 1 Samuel. 2 weeks ago, we did a little intro and the first couple verses, but I'm going to go down here again, and we'll pull down the screen here. First Samuel chapter 1. This book is called Samuel. He's one of the main characters. And the book is in large part about him and also two kings he anointed, Saul and David. We went over the outline of the book, which if you remember the three main characters of the book of 1 Samuel, you can remember the outline. Chapters 1 through 7, you've got Samuel. Chapters 8 through 15, you've got Saul, first king of Israel. Chapter 16 to 31, David. David in transfer, becoming king behind Saul there. And we jumped into the first eight verses, which tells us about Samuel's mother, Hannah. We saw she was she had a co-wife. She was not able to bear children. And she was in a very difficult situation. We looked at some lessons there, but we're going to pick it up here tonight with the prayer of Hannah. So look at 1 Samuel 1, verse 9. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. So we see Hannah's prayer here. She prays to the Lord of hosts. Lord Sabaoth, Yahweh Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, covenant God of Israel, and the mighty King. She's praying to God, recognizing His power. And she prays a specific prayer. What's she praying for? She's praying for a child. She has no child. She's praying for a child. A specific prayer. She's doing so humbly. Praying humbly, not because she deserves it. She was praying unselfishly here. This wasn't a prayer so she could get even with Peninnah, her co-wife. Remember the rivalry there? It wasn't a prayer so that she could somehow feel fulfilled. She hadn't been fulfilled in her life and she needed to be fulfilled by having a son. That wasn't the intent of her prayer. We see that she prayed and she promised to give the child to the Lord. He would be a Nazarite. She asked unselfishly, a specific unselfish prayer. And then we see in verses 12 through 18 that this was a silent prayer. Verse 12. Came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. She spake in her heart, verse 13. Only her lips moved. This was a silent prayer. What kind of person prays silent prayers? Well, a person who knows that God can hear the prayer of the heart. God can hear our prayers, even in our hearts, and no one else can hear them. She didn't have to speak out loud for God to be able to hear. You know, God is a God that knows our hearts and even knows the prayers that we pray in our hearts. And that's the kind of prayer that Hannah prayed. It was a silent prayer. And then, of course, Eli, he confronts her. What are you doing in here? Are you drunk? This isn't the place to be drinking wine here in the tabernacle. And she explains, no, this isn't. I'm not drunk. And she explains what she was doing. And then we see the result of that prayer in verse 18. The woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. She went away from that prayer, and she was helped by that prayer. You know, what she had done, she was in this difficult situation, and she committed those cares and concerns that she had to the Lord. That's what she did in her prayer. She had this desire on her heart. She gave it over to the Lord. And when she got done with that, she came away and it helped her. It helped her. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever been helped like that in prayer? That verse that Paul wrote in Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This is an illustration of that. She prayed to the Lord and she experienced a kind of peace, I think, coming away from that. Do you pray like this? Have you ever prayed in a similar way like this? Maybe not a similar request, maybe a totally different request. But have you ever just committed an issue to the Lord in this way? That's what we need, to be people like that who do that. You know, whether anybody else knows about it or not, the Lord knows it. We need to be people that give these things over to God. I want you to also see that Hannah was a woman who surrendered to God even before God responded. She believed God was worthy of the things she most desired. She wanted a child. And yet we see her in this prayer already surrendering that desire over to the Lord. She said, Lord, if you give me this, I'll give this child back to you. She believed God was worthy of that. It may be that some people are afraid of praying like that because we fear that God would take it away from us. Is that how we look at God? Do we fear that God is going to take something away? But Hannah saw God as a God who deserves what she could give. Maybe for us, our children belong to the Lord. It may be our family, our spouse, our friends, our ministry, our job. Why do we have these things? Well, we have them because of God. And we need to allow God to do what He wants with them. And Hannah believed that God was worthy of that. So Hannah's prayer. And then we come to Hannah's motherhood, where God grants her request. Look at verse 19. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come, after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son. called his name Samuel, saying, "Because I have asked him of the Lord." The man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, "I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever." And Elkanah her husband said unto her, "Do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word." So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, "O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." And he worshipped the Lord there. Hannah became a mother. She received her child from God. She reared her child for God. She kept him home there, even while Elkanah went to the tabernacle for the yearly sacrifice, and she wanted to wean him, and she probably had him there for maybe 3 years, maybe 4 years, and, you know, very young. But during those years, Hannah was rearing her child for God. Obviously, she had to teach him how to eat. That's something he had to learn. He had to learn how to probably get dressed, how to take care of himself, certain matters of hygiene, potty training, probably had to learn that. Probably had to learn what no means. Probably had to learn that. And then we come to the time when she presented her child to God. She came 1 year with her sacrifices. She gave a joyful testimony to Eli of answered prayer. She gives Samuel back to serve at the tabernacle. Again, very young. Very young. And she says she lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, verse 28, he shall be lent to the Lord. That's a long time to lend something, isn't it? Usually when you lend something, you're going to get it back fairly soon. But Hannah said she's lending him to the Lord as long as he lives. That could be a long time. But she said, as long as he lives, he's the Lord's. You know, that word also seems to indicate that she believed that the Lord would repay her. And the Lord did repay her. In chapter 2, verse 21, we see that Hannah had five more children. She had five more children. But, you know, you think about this scene, maybe it looks something like this picture. And you think of the heartache that must have been there. A mother, she's giving away her maybe 3 or 4 year old boy. She's not going to see him for a long time. You know, it seems like they should be in tears and crying, and there should be drama in this scene, and the child clinging to his mother. You know, we don't see that. Don't seem to see that in the scriptures even. Why was that? Well, I think it was because Hannah was ready. She had prepared her own heart. We saw in her prayer, she had already surrendered the child to the Lord. Even before he was born, she'd already given the child over. And she must have made Samuel ready as well. She must have made Samuel ready. Probably preparing him, telling him what was going to happen, that he's going to be serving at the tabernacle with Eli. I'm sure she told him that over and over.
You know, I want to just comment on something that we've all been seeing more and more frequently going on in our world here that relates to this somewhat. And that is some of the situations that we've seen regarding various school boards in our country. And the things that are happening in schools, thinking of, you know, the one there in Loudoun County, Virginia, and what apparently happened there. But not just that. You know, there's been these other cases where parents are becoming involved in the school boards and very concerned about what is being taught in the schools. And they're coming to these meetings and they are protesting some of the issues, the curriculum that is being used there. And this is a piece of news from last week, October 19th. But it was a piece of news from American Freedom Law Center. I noticed that it was filing a federal civil rights lawsuit against U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland, alleging that Garland's recently announced policy to effectively criminalize public criticism of local school boards by parents violates First and Fifth Amendments to the U.S. Constitution. I'm not sure if you heard about that, but our Attorney General, Merrick Garland, has put out in a memo that this kind of protest by parents will be considered domestic terrorism. Parents, you know, trying to be involved in their children's education. This article goes on to say, just recently, Attorney General Garland announced with some fanfare that he was calling upon the FBI and federal prosecutors to use the overwhelming power of the federal government's criminal justice system to target those parents who dare to publicly criticize the local school boards that are indoctrinating their children with progressive claptrap disguised as school curricula. These parents publicly object to their school districts promoting the critical race theory ideology which teaches students to be racist. They object to the divisive, harmful, and immoral transgender policies that are being implemented. And in Saline, Michigan, the parents object to the immoral and pornographic sex education program that the school board is attempting to force on children in the public schools. So this is something that's going on right now in our country, various places. And how do we respond to that? Well, you know, the state is more and more saying that the children belong to the state and the parents' rights are secondary to the state and what the state wants to do. That's more and more the philosophy. That's very problematic. But I think for anybody, for Christians, for us, for the state, for the world to recognize, what they need to recognize here, I think what all of us need to recognize, all parents, all schools, whether they're Christian or public or whatever, they need to recognize what Hannah recognized about her son. And that is that their children are God's. Their children are God's. They belong to God, in other words. And that really is the key question. You know, how do we as parents determine how to raise our children? Well, the very first and fundamental issue that we need to recognize is that God gave them to us. And recognizing that, we need to determine how God wants us to rear them. And it would be good for the state to recognize that too. But parents, most of all, need to recognize that. If they're gods, if they belong to God, how should we care for them and prepare them? And then we come to this last section here we're going to look at. Hannah's song. Hannah's song, chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Hannah's song. Look at it. Verse 1 of chapter 2. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge. And by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty man are broken, and they that stumble are girded with strength. They that were full have hired themselves out for bread, and they that were hungry ceased. So that the barren hath borne 7, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive, he bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth. He shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed." And Elkanah went to Ramah to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. So Hannah's song. Hannah prays and praises the Lord. It seems to be a prayer song here. And notice here, first of all, that her song was a song of thanksgiving. It was a song of thanksgiving. God had answered her prayer. God had given her a child, a son, and she had a few years with that child, and she gave it to the Lord, gave him to the Lord, and now she gives thanks and praise in return. It's a prayer also, a prayer of thanksgiving. We need to do that as well. When God answers our prayers, we need to give him praise and thanksgiving. That's what we need to do. We ought to do that privately, at least. Give thanks to the Lord for what he's done when he answers our prayers. And certainly, publicly, we should thank and praise the Lord. I think this is a song here. And Hannah is composing this, and thanksgiving is a reason why we sing. We don't sing together just because some people think it's fun. You know, we need to sing because we are praising the Lord, and we're thanking God as we sing. That's why we should do it. We should all sing for that reason. You know, in churches, it's becoming more and more common for the church to have a band up front, and pretty much most of the music is just the band playing. Or they might have a worship team, and most of the singing is, you know, the worship team up front. And, you know, sometimes very little congregational singing that goes on. And there's a number of reasons for that. But we should all sing. All of us should be singing. All of us as a congregation should sing songs of thanksgiving and praise to God. This is a song of thanksgiving. And notice that this is a song by a woman. Hannah is writing this. She's a mother. Women ought to write and sing songs for our edification. I don't think that she was taking on a man's position of leadership when she's doing this, or when women today sing and write songs. You know, I don't think they're usurping the pastor by doing that. And so here, I believe, is an encouragement for women to write and sing songs of praise to the Lord. This is Hannah. She's doing this. It's not wrong. It's completely appropriate. And notice that it was a song focused on God. As we read this, you probably could see that. But, you know, Hannah, she had just had this wonderful child, this baby, and she could have made her song of thanksgiving all about her son and how precious he was and how cute he was as a baby and, you know, what wonderful features he had. And, maybe if she was in today's world, she could, you know, maybe post some pictures on social media of her baby and just exult in the gift. And I'm sure she was very thankful for all those things. But you notice her thanksgiving is focused on God. It's focused on God. What God has done, verses 1 through 3. Just point out some things here. Hannah says that her mouth is enlarged over her enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation, verse 1. What does that mean? Well, perhaps that goes along with Psalm 127. God gave her a son to answer and speak for her, like God says children will do. They will speak with their enemies in the gate, it says. God has been the only refuge and rock for Hannah. Verse 2, there is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Hannah found God to be her rock, her refuge. We still sing about that, don't we? Rock of ages, cleft for me. Hannah was singing about God as her rock. She focused on what God had done for her and also what God is doing. Verses 4 through 8, we have seven contrasts. They're contrasts of providence. Verse 4, the bows of mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. And another contrast, they that were full have hired themselves out for bread, and they that were hungry ceased, so that the barren hath borne seven, and she hath many children, is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory, for the pillars of the earth are the Lord's. What God is doing, we see God in His providence here. God can completely change a situation. Completely change. One person described it this way. He turns winners into losers and losers into winners. God can completely change that. And then the reason, note that, verse 8, for the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and He hath set the world upon them. The pillars of the earth are the Lord's. God upholds the world. You know, we have some pillars in our church. If you go downstairs in the basement, there's some pillars down there. And we're thankful for those pillars. And if those pillars were removed, guess where we'd be? In the basement. You know, we couldn't be sitting here up above. Those pillars uphold this sanctuary. And in the same way, Hannah says that God has pillars that He upholds the world on. He is controlling the world and everything in it and every situation and bringing people out of poverty and putting people into poverty and all kinds of different situations. He is controlling. He's doing that right now. We may have some pillars that we're looking at in our life We are looking at pillars that support us in our life, but really, we've got to recognize God is supporting those pillars. God is upholding the pillars of the earth. The pillars of the earth are the Lord's. And then what God will do, what God will do in verse 9 and 10, we see Hannah, her song focuses on God, what God has done, what God is doing, and what God will do. What will He do? Verse 9, He will keep the feet of His saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall He thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth. And He shall give strength unto His king and exalt the horn of His anointed. God protects the saints. He will protect His saints. The enemies of God will not win. The Lord will judge. The Messiah will rule on the throne. That's the word anointed there. One of the first times in the Old Testament that word is used. The anointed one, the Messiah. Hannah was one of the first to use that word prophetically. What God will do. The future belongs to God. As I mentioned this morning, we were looking at 2 Thessalonians 2 and some of the prophecy there. We look around our world and we see things that are scary, things that can make us fearful. And watch the news and you'll be scared in just a little bit by what you see there. I'll read it. And yet the Scriptures tell us that we can hope in the Lord in the future. He's told us that He will judge the wicked. Hannah even says, the Lord shall judge the ends of the earth. We can hope in God. God's enemies will be put down, and His King, who is Jesus Christ, the Messiah, will rule over all. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So that was Hannah's song. That was Hannah's song. You know, we see from that song here that Hannah was a woman who knew the Lord. She was very familiar with the Lord. She knew Him. And I think it was that knowledge of the Lord and her faith in the Lord that enabled her to surrender to the Lord. She surrendered her situation to God in prayer. She surrendered even her request. She had specific requests she made. And she even surrendered that to the Lord. And when the Lord granted that request, she gave her child back to the Lord. Because she trusted the Lord. She knew God was worthy of her trust. We need to surrender to the Lord. You know, it may be our children. It may be our job situation, our home, our health. God can take care of the future. And His hand is in every detail of our lives. We need to surrender to the Lord. That's something that we oftentimes need a reminder about. And I hope tonight the scripture passage is just a reminder to us to have that attitude about the Lord, of surrender to Him. That our lives are His, and whatever He gives to us is His to use for His glory. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for all that You've given to us. Lord, we praise You for allowing us to be here tonight. We thank You, Lord, that You are our rock, that You are our refuge we can come to and find safety in at any time. Father, we thank You for this example of Hannah, for her surrender and her dedication to You. And help our hearts to be surrendered to You as well. And we thank You, Lord, for Your plan for the future. We believe, as Hannah wrote here, that You will judge the world there is coming that day of judgment. And your King, your anointed King, Jesus Christ, will rule over all. And we look forward to that day. And help us, Lord, to put our confidence in you, not in our own strength, but only in you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's close with a hymn, number 323. Number 323. More love to thee. Number 323, let's all stand as we sing. Number 323. Coming. May God bless you. We're dismissed.